What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Conquest,
a podcast where we talk about conventions, fandom, and all things pop culture. We're your hosts, Kat
and Shinmo, and we have a couple guests this week. Guys, want to introduce yourselves?
No, I want you to introduce us.
All right, BWK. Okay. And Tim.
Welcome, yo, guys.
What's up?
You guys have
Maybe let's start over again.
This is our second attempt at starting this episode, so it's a 3-hour process so far, but it's been great. So we're talking about Nintendo, all things Nintendo this year, and that's why we have both of you here, because a lot of our friends are Nintendo fans, but you two are some of the biggest. So that's why we brought you on.
Heck yeah.
So we want to hear your opinions.
Color me a Nintendo nerd.
Oh my God!
What color would
that's
that
not
be?
True, yeah, actually. Nerd implies like a really encyclopedic knowledge, which I really can't claim to have. But
I think I might got you there.
Yeah, you're there for that. I'm here. I'm a straight up fanboy.
We'll see what happens when we get to the trivia portion.
Okay,
of this
which I
episode.
Will likely fail.
I think there's a few softballs in there for you.
I already saw one question that I think you'll know the answer.
Yeah,
to.
There's a couple softballs because I was in charge of the.
I already Googled all the answers. So.
Ouch, Tim.
No, you didn't.
Ouch.
No okay. cheetahs.
I always love to claim to know everything about Nintendo, and I think it's true that I know most. But I still like learn a bunch of cool stuff all the time. Like you know those you ever go to those YouTube channels like Game Explains and stuff like that?
A few times.
They like I think they focus only on Nintendo, or it seems like there's a lot of Nintendo content on there, and there's like any game that you are interested in. They have like a really cool breakdown of like everything you need to know about it, including like the history. Hmm. And if you are a Nintendo loser, like we are, it's like really fascinating to listen to. I'm sorry, I'm plugging something else. I'm just saying that like this fandom is huge.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sure we'll do like plugs and stuff later on, but I'm going to embarrass you just a little bit.
Me?
BWK. BWK is a co-host of another podcast, Top 5 of Death.
It's wonderful.
Great
and
podcast.
One of my favorite, it's basically a top 5 list type of show, and one of my favorite moments ever from that show
he's getting all nervous.
Is the idea is that the hosts make a list of whatever the topic is, and whoever has the worst list, the other co-hosts create a story about how the worst list creator dies. And BWK is notoriously a Nintendo fanboy. Yep. And DJ, who has also been on Wasted Minds Network,
yes,
Rhythm and Brews.
All the plugs are on today. All right.
Sorry, just like coming right out the gate with these plugs. He wrote a death for BWK that has stuck with me for months and months and months. And it essentially just goes back and forth between BWK explaining why the Nintendo Switch is so great from a very technical like specs level to like every member of the Top 5 of Death killing themselves listening to him explaining why the Nintendo Switch is so good.
I love this stupid thing.
I love the Switch too, but just that episode... I don't remember the overall topic of that episode, but
I think it was like things you're looking forward to.
Overall, you should just listen to the Top 5 of Death. It's a great show.
Thank you.
But that episode, I was inconsolable listening to that death.
I mean, because it's not too uncommon for me to, and thank you for that very long explanation. it's not too uncommon for me to just go off and talk at length about why I love Nintendo.
Well, that's why we brought you on here.
I know, and when Kat texted me and said, hey, do you want to be a part of this one we're doing a Nintendo episode? I was like, sure. And normally I prepare to do a podcast, no matter what we're doing. I didn't ask her until I was driving over here. Wait, what's the topic? I knew it was about Nintendo, but I didn't know what the topic was. So
yeah, I was like, we're just going to talk about the Switch and Nintendo's year this year, and then the Nintendo love that is always pouring out of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like every pour.
Yeah. Well, what are we going to do?
Okay.
Tell us, Chin.
Okay, I'm going to go to Kat. Kat wrote down the recap. Kat, what do we got?
So let's open it up with this year's E3 and some of the Nintendo announcements that they made that led to a really wonderful year for the company.
So yeah,
we literally could not have gotten luckier. This is like gotta be the luckiest year for a Nintendo fan. Tim, would you agree with that? I mean, let's just like think of what we saw at E3.
No, before you guys go into this a little bit, pretend almost like you're pitching me, because I have not bought a Nintendo system since the graphics were 64-bit.
What?
So, please. It's not that I don't like it.
Honestly,
I love Nintendo.
Like, Chin, that's perfect, because the Switch is this entry point for you.
Okay.
Like, the Wii is like, people saw it as gimmicky. They were like, I don't want to stand up and play video games or whatever. Or, you know, I'm looking for deeper experiences. Like, the Wii wasn't that for you. The Wii U was a disaster and no one bought it.
Mm-hmm.
We have one.
But I love the Wii U.
I love the Wii U, too. Wii
the mini games are fun. I played the mini games with you guys. Those are pretty fun.
Those are worth the price of admission, 100%.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah,
I got my money's worth for a Wii U.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's legitimately
sold on the Wii U. We got ours because BWK gave it to us as a wedding present, and it was our best wedding present.
It was our best wedding present.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
But can I ask, Chinmo,
yeah,
what was your favorite? So you did play N64.
To this day is my favorite video game system of all time.
So what games did you
set the bar real low?
You are going to be so excited about this. What were your favorite games on N64?
I mean, I love Mario 64.
You're going to love Mario Odyssey.
I have nothing against the Switch. It's just...
I know. We know. But yeah. Tell us what you liked.
From 64, Nintendo, Mario 64, I played Donkey Kong 64 quite a bit.
Okay.
Which took me forever because you had to beat the original Donkey Kong game in it, which is almost impossible if anybody's ever played that game.
Yeah. don't know if I would describe it as impossible.
it took me months to beat it. I really loved Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
That was on N64?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I only played the PlayStation one.
I loved it on 64. I played a lot of Super Smash Brothers.
Hell yeah.
Yep, that was a favorite. Mario Kart, of course.
Okay, cool. So I think...
A lot of classic Nintendo games.
I think you'd find the Switch to be like a really good companion. But your question, and we'll sell you on the Switch before the end of the night, but the question was about E3, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because that's where we got the big... We got a lot of big announcements. It was July, right? June, July, it's around there. So that's where we got a lot of the announcements about the Switch.
Yeah, and actually, before E3, Nintendo revealed the Switch in October. So wait, they revealed in October. Is that true? I have that date in my head.
Around there, I think.
You're the trivia guy.
Oh, that's when it came out, right?
We've only had the Switch for like 2 months.
In October.
No.
Oh, yeah.
So sweetheart.
They revealed it, and then they kind of...
It is very late.
For a while, and then when E3 came around, they sort of like blew the doors off.
I got it in January. So fucking
The whole
longer.
2017 has been a little bit of a blur.
So I wrote down the different games that they premiered at E3, because they did focus primarily on 2017 and primarily on Switch.
Okay, so you said you didn't prepare.
Well, I literally did this right as we were talking.
You've had 3 hours, so.
it took us forever to get started. a lot of talked about in the news. At E3 this year, they announced a new Yoshi game that's coming out in 2018.
Okay.
They announced Zelda DLC for Breath of the Wild, right? They also showed off a lot of Breath of the Wild footage, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Which we'll get
supposedly
into.
Supposedly the new
Zelda
DLC came out today.
Yeah, I was going to surprise
you. Yeah, we were going to tell you during the episode, because we weren't sure if you knew.
Do you guys think I don't know about Zelda?
They talked about Mario Odyssey at length. They showed off, in my opinion, a little too much of it. They revealed that a new Metroid game was coming out.
Ooh.
And Metroid Samus Returns for 3DS. And then they released it 2 months later.
Damn.
They literally revealed and released that game in 2 months, which is incredible.
It's a quick turnaround.
They talked about Metroid Prime 4, which literally was a title screen that made people cry.
Really?
Yes.
That's impressive.
Oh, it's so fun. You guys should watch like reactions to people watching Nintendo's coverage of E3. It's so cute. And the Metroid Prime theme song comes on, and it shows just the title screen, and you can hear people screaming and crying and stuff.
That's awesome.
Oh, Prime 4 is going to rule. They also announced that a Pokemon game, mainline Pokemon game, is coming to console on the Switch. Kirby game was thrown in there. Xenoblade 2, which is a huge RPG game exclusive and by Nintendo first party. Breath of the Wild, Splatoon, a lot of Odyssey coverage, Skyrim, all kinds of different Pokemon tournament. All kinds of different games that were coming out in 2017. All of that list, almost all of those games are making it to 2017.
That's not.
That's the exception really of impressive.
Yoshi and Kirby.
And those are so many big titles too. It's not like they're like, here's one new Mario game and then a bunch of other offshoots.
But do you think that Nintendo missed an opportunity a little bit to? I think they should have launched the Switch with Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild. I think
two heavy hitters?
100%. I think so.
I disagree with you. I agree with Nintendo. I disagree with you on this, but I want to hear the rest of your argument.
My point is Zelda is always great, but kind of niche. There is a market for people who would play a Mario game who wouldn't play a Zelda game. And I think by not doing both at the same time, they hurt themselves a little bit because you're bringing in the more intense gamer crowd with Zelda than you are with a Mario type of game. If you did them both together, I just think it would have really made the Switch the must-have console
that it is today.
I don't know. Well, I honestly, I love the Switch. Yeah. I love the Switch, but I'm like who it's made for, pretty much. I'm a huge Zelda fanboy, mm-hmm. and loved Mario Odyssey. But I honestly can see how somebody who loves Zelda but also had a Wii U and could still get that game on Wii U and doesn't give a fuck about Zelda.
So this is why I disagree with you that it should have launched with Zelda. And it's a promise that they make to the with Zelda and Mario. It's a promise that they made to the audience that Zelda would be, Breath of the Wild would be the Wii U's Zelda game. They had to fulfill that promise, right? So they were going to release that on Wii U and on Switch for people who wanted to upgrade to the Switch so that they could time that at the same time. So Breath of the Wild is not a Switch game. It's a Wii U game that we played on Switch. So the real heavy hitter for Switch is Odyssey. Now, if they put Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild out at the same time,
nobody would have played Breath of the Wild.
Nobody would have played both of them.
It's a good call.
It would have split the audience in such a way because there's so much crossover for people who are Mario fans and people who are Zelda fans. And Zelda was really a promise fulfillment for the Wii U than it was a Switch game.
But here's how you sell a billion Nintendo Switches. Zelda is not released on the Wii U. Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey are released together on the Switch.
That's just a slap in the face to your customers. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, because there are a lot of people who played Breath of the Wild on the Wii U because they had a Wii U and they're holding off on Switch.
Wii U justified itself.
You can't twist the arm of the people. And a lot of people bought Wii U's for the promise of Zelda. Specifically when they were saying, like, they're showing off Breath of the Wild footage and saying that this was for Wii U and not even telling us that the Switch existed at that point. People bought Switches for that purpose.
Sure.
If you release that only on Switch, you would have a pissed off fan base.
And you don't want to do that.
So they did the same thing with Twilight Princess, and that's, like, it historically makes sense, right? Twilight Princess came out on the GameCube and on the Wii at the exact same time.
And don't people really not like Twilight Princess? Like, isn't that on the lower rung of Zelda games?
Well, they did what they did with Breath of the Wild, where they released the simultaneous release on the new console and on the old one.
Okay.
And it's a promise fulfillment. They told you it was in development for that system, so it better come out on that damn system.
But it just smacks of, like, we couldn't pull our shit together enough to have this built and early enough that it made sense as a Wii U title. You know what I mean? Like, it's a cop-out.
The development of the Switch made Breath of the Wild a Switch game. Let me explain. So I think that it was a Wii U game at first, and it was going to be a great Wii U game. And then they were working on the hardware, and they decided that the parts of the Wii U that people loved, which was the portability, being able to go off screen and stuff like that, that part of it was going to be their next console. And then they thought, well, how if we can make this like a portable Zelda game. And that's what delayed Breath of the Wild enough to get it ready for Switch. And in Nintendo's mind, Breath of the Wild is a Switch game. It runs better on Switch. It's portable. It fulfills the what's the word I'm looking for? It's like their plan.
Vision.
Their vision of a Zelda game on the go and in the wild. Right? So the Switch makes more sense for Breath of the Wild than it ever did on Wii U.
I honestly didn't even know it was on the Wii U until you just told me.
Right, because it makes more sense on Switch.
Yeah, there were a lot of people that I know.
And you
that
haven't owned a console since N64.
No, a Nintendo console. We'll get to that later.
What do you guys think? Releasing Mario and Zelda at the same time.
I disagree with that because I know a lot of people that didn't because Zelda was available for Wii U or like, fuck the Switch. I don't want it. That's stupid. It looks broken. It's too expensive. This, that, the other thing.
Early adopter. People who are afraid to be early adopters.
Right. So they were like, if this is available on Wii U, I'm just going to play it on that. And now people were ramping up and getting excited and buying a Switch now because of Super Mario Odyssey. So I think if they had released the Switch with both of those games at the same time, no one would have played Breath of the Wild on the Switch.
It would have cannibalized sales, I think.
Yeah, it would have. People would be playing it now after they had finished Super Mario Odyssey. That would have been a second
tier
game.
The conversation would have been way too much Nintendo at that moment. New console, new Zelda game, new Mario game. Everyone talking about that all at once. It makes sense to spread that conversation.
I agree, although, so would we all agree that Mario probably has broader appeal than Zelda does?
For sure.
Yes.
So here's how, if in an ideal world, here's how I'd roll this out. The Switch comes out. The release title is Mario Odyssey.
Does Zelda come out on Wii U at the same time?
No.
Okay.
Mario Odyssey comes out, and then the December release, or was it December when Odyssey came out, or November? November.
This past November.
Yeah. The November release is Breath of the Wild. Obviously, you'd piss off some fans because it was promised as a Wii U title, which is just a dumb development behind schedule type of thing, which don't even get me started on my day job. But don't you think that you'd have more people buying the Switch? I mean, because
Do you think people are buying consoles in March, or do you think people are buying consoles in November and December?
Hands down, November, December, because of Christmas.
It's Christmas.
November
time.
And December, that's a biggest holiday. It's a holiday season. It's
when
the
did the Switch
season.
Come out?
March.
So, really?
Yeah.
I just remember being cold as fuck when we bought ours.
March.
Are you thinking Wii U?
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh,
Switch.
What are you thinking when Wii U came out? But so
we live in New England, in case people didn't know. It's
but
always cold.
People are buying more at this time, and they're buying for their children, right? So me and you are adult men, and we like Zelda, right? So we're going to buy Zelda in March. But if
I like Link, okay?
If my mom... okay. My mom was buying me a console, and I'm a 10-year-old. She's going to want to buy me Mario.
Yeah, she's going to wait for that.
Yep. Mario makes more sense as a... She's not going to know what Zelda is, A, right? And B, it's going to look kind of violent, swords and whatever. I'm not saying this is all parents, but it's going to make more sense for her to pick up a Mario game around the holidays than it would to be pick up a Zelda game.
Yep.
But us fanboys will pick up Zelda whenever it comes out. And we're more excited for Zelda than we are for Mario, which is not true for me. So
it doesn't matter what time of year it
doesn't matter
comes
what
out.
Time. Yeah.
You guys like?
Have I convinced you?
You guys like to live in what I refer to as the bubble. You guys are in a bubble. I'm the same way with a lot of public, like Star Wars and stuff. Like that's my thing. I live in this bubble, and I always use my mother, like how you said, like mom's buying stuff. If I mention something about Star Wars, like, oh, they making a new one. I'm like, are you kidding me? They've been talking about it for years. Like,
do you not know?
Exactly.
Yeah, you're just like so encased in the things that you love and cherish. So you're constantly
immersed in it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like 100% sure that you could ask anyone on the street if they know what a Porg is and they won't.
Yeah. Unless you are at like a Comic-Con or something where you're like, of course, who the fuck doesn't know what that is? But it's because we live in that culture. We are immersed in it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a mom that sits, in my office, I have like open concept desks. And there's a mom that sits on the other side of my desk, and I have the Porg, pop vinyl in the corner. And she was like, "Oh, that's a cute little birdie." Like she didn't even know what
it
was.
Even look like Star Wars.
Hell, yeah. Great.
And when it goes to, when we got talking about Nintendo, Mario is hands down much more recognizable than Link.
Second most recognizable character
ever, probably.
Behind second? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no, honestly,
Santa?
Number one is Ronald McDonald.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Ronald McDonald for kids.
Okay.
Ronald McDonald, then Mario. But Santa should be up there, too.
Right?
Yeah. Maybe he's number three.
Maybe he's number three.
We'll have to look up that list. We have the technology now. We have an iPad hanging up above us. But yeah.
The iPhones in our pockets.
Yeah.
And computers all around us.
An instant access to all knowledge.
Right. But
there's even books in this
room. We got it all.
It's kind of a novelty.
And more for the look.
They so are, though, right? Like, if you had like an encyclopedia collection, it would look awesome in a bookshelf, but you would never crack those open.
No.
Yeah, like those like American literature and Western literature, 8,000-page things, I will never open those again.
Due to nostalgia, I've collected these portions of the internet.
There's something something nice about a hard copy, though.
Yeah.
That's actually why I buy, when I do buy a video game, I buy a hard copy. I don't buy a digital download.
Oh, I went all digital for Switch.
Which, I don't know, is that better for Switch? I don't know. Like, I don't know how it's working now. I'm so out of date.
I think it's better because I have all of my games with me at all times.
Yeah.
And a lot of those are like communal games, right?
Yeah.
So you go over to someone's house, you have your Switch in your backpack or whatever, and they'll be like, "Oh, you want to play a game?" It's like, "Yeah, you could play, you can't play Zelda with me because it's a one person game."
Yeah.
You could play 1-2 Switch, which is actually garbage. You could play Overcooked, you could play, you know,
Arms.
Yeah, Arms. Didn't the Switch come with a bunch of mini games already?
No, it didn't come with anything.
Oh, okay.
Which was kind of bogus.
But that's Mario Kart. And that gets back to my point where it sort of felt like the Switch was a bit unfinished in that they were like, "We made this great game that is, by your definition, BWK, a Wii U game that's great. You should buy the Switch because it came out, but also you can still buy it on the Wii U. Does it come with anything else? Nope. But look forward to November when we'll be releasing Mario." And
well, we had a lot between that.
Yeah.
We got a triple A title every month. So there was Zelda for the first month, which I will admit, if you didn't care about Zelda, there was no reason to own a Switch.
That game's so fucking good. I hope we talk about it, but
yeah,
we'll get there.
It's not even going to be mentioned again in this episode. So.
but you had Zelda and 1-2 Switch at launch, and that's it, right? They didn't even have the eShop really at that point.
1-2 Switch can go fuck itself.
And 1-2 Switch can go fuck itself.
There are like three games on it that I enjoy.
That's one of the games.
And it's...
I wish.
Go fuck yourself.
No, make it interesting.
Joy-Con Rotation is the best one.
That's literally like what an engineer would call that game.
Yeah, they're like, "I don't know. We turn them around. Joy-Con Rotation. That's fine.
It's a Joy-Con. We rotate it."
Yeah,
but there are three games that do that, though. There's also like Safe Cracker, which you're just rotating Joy-Cons, and there's Shaving, which you just are rotating Joy-Cons.
Or there are a couple of decent games. See who picks it up the fastest. Yeah.
I like the one that's like a treasure chest in chains and you have to unroll. It's really cool.
And
it's
called
treasure
chest.
Yeah. Like, and the wizard
names.
One where you're like,
it's better than Joy-Con
like
rotation.
Potter duel.
The wizard.
Yeah. That one's a good
one. Oh, I love that one. That one's really cool. That game rules. It's great.
But the nerve.
$50?
No, I was going to say the nerve that they have to charge $50 for
a pack in.
Yeah.
That's a free ass game.
Yeah,
that's
that should have come with
you
it.
You know what? You know what would have been cool though? It should be a free ass game, but what would have been cool is if they sold the mini games individually for like $1 each.
Yeah.
Right?
So that's what I thought they did, if I'm being honest with you.
Right. Yeah. You could get like Quick Draw, which is awesome.
That is fun. Yeah.
You could get Quick Draw and you could get Treasure Chest, but you don't need to get Gorilla and Catwalk. You know what I mean? Like,
and then it's freemium. And they could do like $25 for the game. and they do like the best versions of it, and they make people pay for the shitty ones.
Yeah, like heads up, but you can just buy like additional add-on packs. Like you're like, oh, these five games look fun in this bundle, so I'll spend $2 on it or $5 on it or
$2. Yeah. I said a dollar, but $2 makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The
because then I would have only spent $4 on that game instead of $50. Yeah. But so at launch we had. We had Zelda and 1-2 Switch. So really we had Zelda, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the next month we got, what was next? It was another big one. I think it was Splatoon 2.
Which we've talked about before.
No way was that Mario Kart.
It's too. Mario Kart came next.
Which is a Wii U re-release. That's bullshit. Yeah.
There are new characters and new carts, though.
Not new tracks,
it's the
though.
Same game.
Yeah, it should, we should have got new tracks.
In Mario Kart 8. Is my
it's
favorite
so
Mario Kart.
It's
like,
the best
I
Mario
love
Kart.
That
and
game.
I have played that, and it's a damn good game.
So here's why I'm okay with it. Right? Oh, well, I'm a defender of Nintendo, so I'm going to be okay with all their mistakes. But here's why I'm okay with it is that they only sold 13 million Wii U's. Right? That's abysmal. That's horrible. 13 million.
I have no sense of scale there. So.
The PlayStation 2 sold 102 million. Okay, so just to give you an idea.
Yeah.
Thanks, that's helpful.
So they sold 13 million Wii U's. And
wow!
I know, right? And Mario Kart 8 is the best Mario Kart game.
Yeah, it's so fun.
On a system that nobody owns. Bought. Yeah. So people started paying attention to the Switch after Zelda. And Nintendo was like, we're going to release one AAA game a month. It makes sense to include Mario Kart as that. Most of the people that picked it, they've already sold 17 million. They're on skew for 24 million Switches, and they've already sold 17 million Switches. So that's already outsold the base of the people that bought Wii U's, if you think every single person who bought a Wii U now also bought a Switch.
Yeah, and Mario Kart is such a smart game to release for that because it's iconic. Everybody knows that game, whether you have no matter what system you've played it on. And it's a family-friendly game, too. So if you're like, oh, I want to get something for my kid, but it's something the whole family can use, I'll get Mario Kart with it. Going back to what you said earlier, if you're a mom and you're going to buy something for your kid, it's going to be something recognizable that you know that they would like and is kind of wholesome.
It's family-friendly until someone throws a blue shell at you.
Which is a good venue for Mario Kart 8. Sorry, Chin.
No, go ahead.
Mario Kart is a good venue for the Switch, right?
Yeah.
It's built in two controllers. Immediately you have two-player. And it's portable. You can take it anywhere.
Which I can tell you is one of my favorite aspects of the Switch, because I had a Game Boy, which was maybe one of my favorite things ever.
It's so cute to call the Switch a Game Boy.
But no, it's not. But like, it was portable. I could take it anywhere I go.
I like to think of myself
as a Game
Boy. Which
is what I like
about
the Switch.
Me too.
But continue.
Mario Kart. I'm just defending its release. Because then after Mario Kart, we got Splatoon. Then we got ARMS. Then Pokken Tournament, whatever.
Please tell me you're not calling Pokken Tournament a AAA title.
A lot of people cared about it. It's Nintendo first party too. So we got a steady stream every month of Nintendo first party games while the eShop just exploded with indie games. Some of the best indie games on any console and specifically on Steam. Very easy to port over to the Switch. So we just got tons of them, right?
Yeah, like Thumper.
Thumper was such
is one
a
of my
fun
favorite.
Game.
That game is incredible.
Yeah. I've watched you guys play that and it looks amazing.
It's hypnotic.
But, oh my god, I feel like I'm gonna get
so lost.
I get so
indeed.
Dizzy.
And then you got Snake Pass and I can't think
but,
of anything.
But you Stardew also have
Valley.
To admit that if you're for anybody paying attention, it makes the Switch feel like a do-over in a lot of ways. It's like nobody played this game when we made it on Wii U, so let's re-release it because it's great. And I agree that those games are great, and it sucks that nobody bought it on the Wii U. And
so what do we do? Let it lose it to history?
No, but like, keep making shit for the Wii U. Make something compelling so people buy it until you release your new system that is its own thing and not a new system that is repurposing games from a system you're pissed that nobody bought.
Right. That's a really good argument. I have to say, it's a good argument. And I think that the Wii U, in a lot of ways, the Switch is an apology for the Wii U, right? Like, we're sorry we did that to you, but here's all the stuff that you liked about the Wii U in a better package. And I see what you're saying is, like, people who know that Mario Kart 8 is on Wii U and now sees it on Switch is like, wait a second, is this just a different Switch, a different Wii U? I could see that.
And not only that, but there's a bunch of stuff on Wii U that I think is so good. There's like, I love the Nintendo.
I would love a re-release of those things.
The Nintendo Land stuff is so good. The game we call Candy Crush.
Candy Corner.
Catch the Bitch, like the ones where it's like,
I do like Catch the Bitch.
There's like a basically a Ghostbusters game on there that's that wicked, so like Luigi's Mansion
what
style Ghostbusters.
He's assing me
because when you, the ghost grabs you, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those games are so fun. They're some of the best party games I've ever played.
And where's the Switch versions of these things?
I know.
Yeah.
Exactly. If the,
and
so
it's supposed to be 1-2 Switch.
If the Switch was totally backwards compatible, where it was like, are bad, Wii U didn't sell for whatever reason, here's the Switch, it should have everything that was great about the Wii U. That's my opinion. It didn't even have the app compatibility. You couldn't get Hulu. You couldn't, I mean.
You can now.
You can't, sure. But that to me adds to the feeling that the Switch was rushed.
Also, that user interface on the Switch, although simplistic, and I love it for its simplicity, it looks beta.
It does. It does. And it is kind of a misstep that if you already had like a Nintendo eStore account and you already purchased games digitally, that they weren't backwards compatible and you couldn't bring them back and play them on your Switch.
Right, which is true for the Wii and the Wii U as well. There was like a special like Wii mode on Wii U that you had to like launch to get to the Wii
interesting.
Stuff. I think a lot of companies don't really do backwards compatibility as much anymore.
That's true.
It stopped, which I really upsets me, which is Grant, I used to play video games all the time. I've dialed back much more since I've been moving around a lot and stuff like that. But it does...
Perfect for the Switch.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's on the go. That's true. You are. You're doing a very good job at pitching this to me. That's true. That is pretty... I do like how it is a portable mini TV. Like, it's not bad.
Yeah.
So it's roughly that size.
Well, what I meant is that you don't need to plug it into a TV.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But it does upset me how the majority, if not all, the systems now are not backwards. They're not capable of playing games from other systems.
Yeah, I feel like
it really upsets me.
But that wasn't true for NES and Super Nintendo either.
Yeah, but I think now that we're moving towards a technology that's more cloud-based, digital-based, digital library, exactly, that you're not counting on having to have the same format, so you don't need the cartridge to be exactly the same or the disc to be exactly the same.
Exactly.
So you should be able to go back and play something that you've already purchased on a new system, especially when it's not too far removed from the Wii U.
So that was Wii and Wii U then, right? So Wii and Wii U shared an eShop where you could download old Nintendo games.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to use it on the Wii U, though, you had to pay $1. You had to pay $1. So if you already owned it on the Wii, you just pay one more dollar to get it on your Wii U, and you got like an upgraded version of it that included off-screen play and stuff.
See,
like
I'm
that.
Cool. I like that. That's good. That's a good idea.
Yeah, because there is you miss the translation of the graphics being updated a little bit because that stuff does get
emulation
on.
Is they do a new emulation every year.
Yeah.
So there's every time that they release it. So it's like that compatibility doesn't necessarily, because it was previously compatible, doesn't mean that it's now compatible with the hardware of this new system. There is like actual development work that goes into re-releasing those things. And I think that's why we haven't seen an eShop, like a proper eShop with virtual console or anything on Switch yet. And when
that's
they do, can you believe how fun that will be to literally have all of your favorite Nintendo, Super Nintendo, GameCube, or, you know, N64 games
available
on your Switch?
You.
That's going to be so fun.
That, I won't lie, that is what would get me to buy a Switch.
I think that's the next big pull. Right? So Mario's a big pull. Zelda's a big pull. That got people to buy the system. I think the next one is digital library of all old Nintendo games.
Yeah, because PlayStation's starting to do that. So they remastered Crash Bandicoot, and that was a huge
game
thing
was a
for
blast.
Them. Yeah, it's so fun. And they just released a remastered Jack and Daxter. They did a bundle of all of those games because Crash Bandicoot did so well, and they're already talking about doing Spyro, so they like know that that's the market for that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, all these classic games that you loved and you can't play anymore, we're now going
to
remaster them and bring them back, and
well,
they're
they
available, right?
Though, right? Because like, so I was just saying, when I said to Tim earlier, like, what do? We lose that game to history because it's on a system that no one bought? Well, that's what like digital remaster or deluxe editions like Mario Kart. That's what that's for, is to re-release that stuff, because games from the past simply do not look good today.
No, they look awful.
They need some sort of update in order to be, because they were designed for like CRT TVs, and now we have like digital display, like, you know, LCDs and stuff like that. And just fundamentally, they were designed to be displayed on something that they're now being forced to be displayed on.
There was a level in Crash Bandicoot that I just like could not get by. So I cheated and went on YouTube to watch a video of how that level was supposed to be done. And it was the old original release. And I was audibly laughing to myself. And I was like, because there's a level where you're running and there are these skunk things that pop up, and they look like skunks now, but when I was looking at it, I was like, that was supposed to be a skunk. I thought this was a lizard forever. Because even when I was playing the new one, I was like, oh, they changed some of the animals for the remaster, that's weird. Nope, they just looked like garbage before. Right. And I could not discern what kind of animal it was.
Keep those games in our history by updating them. So that makes sense to do digital re-releases. And I do think that there's development work that needs to... Well, I mean, I know that there's development work that needs to go into that. So it makes sense to charge for it. So having like a digital library that you carry with you from system to system, I don't think is very pragmatic.
And I will grant them that...
Backwards compatibility.
They added enough to Mario Kart to make it a great standalone title.
Yeah, it's still a blast.
Like they,
and if you never played it, you just got literally the best version of that game.
Exactly. Because people who did own the Wii U know that battle mode wasn't great on the Wii U, and they've full on fixed it for the Switch.
The double items is key. That I was saying for so long. I was like, I wish that when I'm holding onto an item, if I go through another box, that it doesn't just mean nothing, that I can hold two items at the same time. So that was a great
enhancement. And the new courses are great.
Yeah. We finally got Dry Bones, which I was waiting for. He's my favorite.
Fuck Dry Bones when Blackatoo is an option.
That's true.
Cutie with his red shell and his little goggles.
Yep.
It was like weirdly like masturbatory when he like pulls himself out of the water, though.
You think so?
Yeah.
I do.
You're talking about Lakitu?
Yeah, it's just like weird, like Lakitu falls in the water and then Lakitu fishes himself out of the water.
It's like he's just
Yoshi rides a motorcycle modeled on his own body. Like, that's a weird thing.
When I came by the other day when we were recording an episode and you guys were playing and I was watching you play Mario Kart. And looking at it, I was going, is Yoshi riding himself?
And you're like, no, that's just Tim.
Can we talk? I'm sorry. I know you guys have a structure, but I wanted to say, can we just talk really quickly about Splatoon and how that is a Splatoon 2 is basically a Splatoon 1.
Yeah, we actually haven't picked up Splatoon 2 yet because it looks so similar to Splatoon 1.
It's very, very, very similar.
Now, I'm going to sound like an old person, but that's like the paintball game, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That game is incredible, and I did pick up Splatoon 2 because I'm a sucker, and I felt like a sucker a little bit.
Really?
Because it is basically the same game I played on Wii U. However, the matches are way faster because there's way more people playing Splatoon now.
Yeah, because not many people were playing.
But again, adds to that sensation that it's a do-over.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was saying, like, although I disagree with you about Mario Kart, to a certain level, I think a more egregious version of this is Splatoon. Because they actually went the full mile to call it Splatoon 2.
They did the balls to call it 2, yeah. Right,
yeah.
Which BWK and I have talked about before. Missed marketing opportunity. Why it's not Splatoon with a 2.
Instead of a T?
Instead of a T. I don't understand.
Yeah, they fucked up there.
Yeah.
They fucked up there.
100% a graphic design artist tried that and they couldn't make it work.
Well, yeah, too bad for them.
You're right. You're so right. And the other thing I wanted to talk about really quickly is that Nintendo also released a new IP. Like, this is huge. Nintendo does not release new IPs. They have Mario, they have Zelda, they have Kirby, and, you know, all
And those games always sell.
Donkey
People
Kong.
Love them. They're classics.
Yep, okay,
yeah. Yeah, they have their intellectual properties that they have no reason to create new ones, right? The most recent new one, well, with the exception of Splatoon, which was for Wii U, was technically the Miis from like Wii Sports.
Okay, right? I know them because I played a good amount of Wii Sports in college.
Yeah, that's technically like the,
it's quite the
Nintendo
athlete.
IP for the Wii, right?
That's sad.
I know. So really, in my opinion, it was a Pikmin. So it was like Pikmin, then we waited till Splatoon.
That was from,
little guys are so cute.
They debuted in GameCube, right?
GameCube, yeah, right.
Okay.
So we waited until Splatoon. So we went kind of like a whole console generation without a new IP. On Switch, we have Splatoon 2, which is unbelievably fast turnaround time for Splatoon because it's basically the same game. Splatoon 2 and ARMS.
ARMS is so fun.
Right.
So fun.
Yeah.
It's completely different and so new for Nintendo. And it's like... And it makes sense for Switch.
Yeah.
That's the best part about it, is how much it takes advantage of the new control.
Just how versatile it is.
Yeah.
So I used to play video games a lot when I was a kid. I had like the first gen Sega and PlayStation and Nintendo. So I was used to very simple controls, very... simple, you know, 2D scrollers for the most part. And those are the controls that I was used to. And then I got a little bit more out of my comfort zone with the PlayStation games, with Crash and Spyro and Jack and Daxter.
Dual analog style stuff.
Yeah. And then I didn't play video games, like, at all in college. And by the time I came back to it, it was the new, like, Xbox remotes where you have to control the cameras. And I feel like an old lady playing them because I cannot handle those controllers for whatever reason. Like playing Arkham Knight, I was getting so frustrated at the Batmobile stuff just because I can't.
Still, you still feel like that?
Yeah, I like don't have the dexterity with the controllers with when it includes having cameras and first person. I just am not good at it.
Sure.
I can vouch for that.
Yeah.
That's so frustrating watching someone play a game like that.
Yeah, oh, I get so frustrated and I just give up. So like when we play games like that, I'll just watch Tim for the story. I'll like you do all that stuff. But what I love about the Nintendo games is their controllers have always been so simple.
Basically a D-pad and a couple buttons.
Right. And I like that they didn't have to add a bunch of the different camera options or anything like that, really. I mean, you get a little bit of that now with Breath of the Wild and Super Mario Odyssey. But even playing those, like playing Super Mario Odyssey, I was a little bit intimidated because I knew that it included that kind of functionality with the controllers. But it's super easy. I played a ton of it the other night and I got sucked in and I was like, this is so fun. I didn't feel intimidated by the controls.
It takes care of a lot of the camera work for you.
Right.
In Odyssey, not in Zelda.
Yeah. So with the Switch being able to remove the controls and get that same motion that you got with the Wii and the Wii U, but then also being able to use it as a classic control with the D-pad and the A, B, X, Y, it doesn't have to enhance the controller itself, just the technology of it and what you can do with it, which I think is really smart because it allows, you know, parents and people in generations that are used to the original consoles like I am to still come back and have fun with a new console like that.
And click together, they are dual analog, so it is fully functional in a modern day setting.
Right.
And then also unclicked, they're, like you said, they're regular Nintendo controllers.
Mm.
And then also unclicked, they're Wii remotes.
Yeah.
So it is sort of like all of the worlds combined into one perfect package.
Very smart.
Which is
and
cool.
Those Joy-Cons are perfect. They are little.
I was going to say,
go ahead.
I don't own a Switch, but I played it with you guys. I played it with a few other places. And every time I use it, I feel like Will Smith in Men in Black with the noisy cricket. I feel like I'm going to break this damn thing.
That's really funny.
It's so little.
Not only that, but frankly, just playing with the little Joy-Con, trying to play
Mario Kart
is not comfortable.
It like cramps your hands a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I should amend what I said. They're not perfect. It's a perfect design of including those controllers the way that they did, but they are really small.
Yeah, they're tiny.
We ended up finding like really cheap controllers online, or like
shells.
Yeah, shells that you could just like plug those into that make it way easier and more like a standard console to play Mario Kart, and that was. Great. They work great. I think you said they were like a dollar.
Yeah, I think I got them on Amazon for like $2 on Prime Day.
Nice.
But the motion controls, so arms uses motion control. Yeah. Oh, wait. Do you guys have a pro controller? Dude, get a pro controller. They're the fucking best. It might be one of like the best controllers I've ever held. It's a perfect weight. It has dual analogs. It's a really good design on it. It kind of looks
cool.
Is
that the one that charges the Joy-Cons while you play?
No, it's the system does that.
Well, we have one that that you can charge and has like a battery pack in it, so it keeps the Joy-Cons charged while
you're thinking
playing.
Of the grip?
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about this. Is no Joy-Cons at all. It's just a controller.
Okay.
It has motion control and stuff inside of it, but it's just one controller. It's a really cool little system. And that's how I play ARMS mostly. But I love that Nintendo released a new IP this year with like 12 new characters.
Yeah.
They're all like a kind of a cool Nintendo thing that is interesting. Like Splatoon had this really cool like punk aesthetic. Mm-hmm. And you can see that Nintendo is like inspired by that because ARMS has kind of a cool punk aesthetic to it too.
Yeah, and almost like
they could be in the same universe.
Yeah, for sure. And even like the announcer on ARMS has that same little like voice that the Splatoon people have.
It's a good impression.
Thanks. but they.
It really was.
It's my one talent in life. But it feels almost comic booky in a way too, because you have like Springman who is Supermanish, but then you have like Helix who's the classic villain. Like I, for some reason, imagine Samuel L. Jackson voicing him in like a cartoon version of
Helix.
ARMS. Yeah.
Are you thinking of Max Brass?
No.
Oh, Max Brass is like the villain. Helix is like the weird blobby guy.
Yeah, that like looks like a
Samuel
DNA
L.
string.
Jackson would voice him.
No, who's
Sean,
who's
been
one?
On a handful of episodes, calls him Mr. Jellyman.
Mr. Jellyman. Yeah, I don't know why. Like for some reason, I just imagine him.
But what cool character designs, right?
Yeah,
they're all so unique,
so clever.
Yeah, it's so Nintendo. Oh, I love them so much. And then we.
Although Mr. Springman could be a better character.
Ribbon
Girl. I don't know. I have like a legit crush on Springman. He's so cute.
He's
so cute. And what was I going to say? Next big game that came out?
Pokken Tournament.
Oh, wait, we wanted to, so what did you guys have planned? Because I know we're going a little over.
Well, I have just like,
this is where after we talked about the Switch and the E3 recap, we talked about some of the bigger games.
Some of the games, yeah. So we're on track.
Which, okay. Can I just say that just listening to you guys talk about this, we picked the absolute best people for this episode.
We really did.
I feel like we're monopolizing a little bit.
I was feeling the
honestly,
same way, too.
I was perfectly okay with it because I told you guys to pitch me on the Switch, and I feel like it did that. BWK, I feel like you should be working for Nintendo.
I get that every day.
You really should.
Yeah.
I would be lying to you if I told you I never searched Nintendo jobs.
For me?
Yeah. Brian, you'd be great at this.
But also,
wait,
I applied to it too.
Oh, yeah. You'd be great at it too, buddy.
I'd love to just work for a company that I cared about. And if you're listening to this and you're at the company that I work for, I'm just kidding.
I'm talking about you.
Well,
my life is a lie.
Go ahead. What are you going to say?
Whoa. To go back to the two big tentpoles, unless there are any of the other smaller releases that you wanted to talk about. But I know that you were both really pumped up on Breath of the Wild.
Oh, yeah. SteamWorld Dig 2. Everyone download it. It is incredible. SteamWorld Dig 2. The sequel to the 3DS game SteamWorld Dig. It's like this.
Anything like Dig Dug?
A little bit.
I love Dig Dug.
Yeah, so you basically go into this mine. You're like a robot, and you go into this mine, and you just dig down, kind of, and you make like a little path. And anytime you dig, you break that block permanently.
Oh.
And you have to like move. And it's not arcade style. It's a story. So you have to like mine yourself around this mine to like collect gems and bring them back up to the surface to upgrade your character so you can mine deeper. And then there's also a story that like moves the game along. It is so addictive. And it's like relaxing too.
You know what it is? I don't know about you guys, but digging holes is just fun. It is relaxing. I know it's like
in
a joke.
Video games?
No, it's like a joke out of Friends, but you go to the beach, I'm digging a hole. Like,
yeah.
It's something relaxing. I think that's why I enjoyed Dig Dug so much as a kid.
I use the analogy
inside of my
childhood. when you eventually get your Switch, download SteamWorld Dig 2 because it's in my top 5 of the year.
Oh, nice. Yeah, okay.
I love it. What's your analogy, Kat?
Oh, I was going to say, anytime something is really difficult for me, or like you work on something for a really long time and you didn't actually make any headway, I just attribute it to digging a hole in sand, because while you're digging it, it just keeps refilling itself.
Yeah.
That's why you got to stick with the dirt and the mud, like the heavy stuff.
So that's a little one I would recommend.
Okay.
It's SteamWorld Dig 2.
I'm really excited for the Yoshi game, because Yoshi's Woolly World is one of the funnest games I've ever played. It's so cute. It's super easy. It's very fun.
Yoshi in general is adorable.
Yeah.
That game reminds me so much. This is not a Nintendo game. Woolly World reminds me of a PlayStation game. What is it called? Yarny is the main character in it.
Unraveled.
There you go. Yeah, that game is so
that
fun.
That game is beautiful.
Anyone who thought Kat was not a nerd, she just pulled Unraveled out like that in a second. So, fake nerd, you are not.
Nope. Is that the word on the street? And you're making me nervous.
No, but you know how girls always get like charged with being fake nerds.
Yeah,
like,
I'm wearing Star Trek socks.
Oh,
so.
I'm just a nerd, so I can dress up like Harley Quinn.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie, I don't remember like exactly how we started this episode, because we did a few different openings. But now you have your nerd ID card.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I don't know if that was this opening or the other one.
Not Nintendo, but anybody out there listening, play Unraveled. It is a beautiful,
emotional
game.
Cool. Yeah. You're excited for Yoshi, you said.
Yeah, just because I love Yoshi in general. Is such a cute character. He's so fun to play, and just Woolly World was one of my favorite games of 2015.
I do feel like we've had such a banger of a year for Nintendo, right? Like every year, every month, we kept getting all these incredible games, and I feel so satisfied with my Switch. It was already worth the price.
Yeah,
and it was
worth the price of admission. For Breath of the Wild,
right?
So, and then
Odyssey, except that you could get it on Wii U,
except that you got Odyssey later, and it's like we didn't need this year, Nintendo. And then today they released today.
Yeah,
today we're recording. They released more Zelda. What are you talking about, Nintendo? Give us a breath.
An embarrassment of riches.
And they charged me $1 for more Mario Kart characters.
Yeah. I know, it's insane.
So let's get into that then. So those are the two big temple games.
Yeah.
Breath of the Wild and...
What's your game of the year?
Mario Odyssey.
Breath of the Wild is my game of the decade.
Okay.
Ooh baby
high
boy.
Sticks.
good hair flip, too.
Thanks, bro.
Go on.
I think my game of the year is also Breath of the Wild, but Odyssey is, like, basically interchangeable.
Right up there?
Yeah, so I'll take the position of defending Odyssey if you want to take the position of defending Breath of the Wild for game of the year, but I'm just going to agree with you.
I love Odyssey. Don't get me wrong. I think Breath of the Wild's on another level. But I also am just, you know what it is? I think you're measuring every franchise game against the other games in the franchise. And for me, Breath That's of the fair. Wild easily stands up as top two at
What's your
at
number one?
Worst for Zelda?
Yeah, Breath of the Wild.
Probably either Breath of the Wild or Ocarina of Time.
Okay.
But they're very close. Meanwhile, for Mario, I love Odyssey. I don't know if it's my favorite Mario game of all time.
Interesting.
You get a lot more to compete against, I think.
It is a little bit doing it a little bit of a disservice having two open world games being released in the same year that haven't been open world games before, because playing Breath of the Wild first...
Bite your tongue, because Zelda... invented the open world style, so
Odyssey's not really
hard to
open
say
world
it wasn't an open world
way.
Game,
Brian.
And I'm talking, and I'm talking original Legends
nerd
Zelda.
Card revoked.
No, but it is way more freeform now.
Yeah. Well, I just meant open world in the same way that like Skyrim and all those are.
Oh, 100%. It was always open world that held your hand through the adventure.
Yeah, the giant. It's a big sandbox. Big giant sandbox.
It was more sandbox than open world, And now it's definitely open world. Yeah.
How large was this game? I think I remember reading like how many square feet it actually was.
I don't have that in my brain.
I don't remember either, but it was like something ridiculous compared to Skyrim, which is a massive trivia game.
You guys better remember. No, I'm kidding.
That's one of the trivia questions, though.
Breath of the Wild is just, for me, everything I wanted out of a new Zelda game.
Out of a new game? Like, to me, it felt like that when I picked up Breath of the Wild for the first time and I learned you could cook an apple and pick up a stick. And
that cooking song is so fun, by the way.
When I learned you could do that stuff right away, I was like, oh, this is what I wanted in a game. You know, like, it gave me something I hadn't even thought of that I wanted.
I remember hearing years ago that they were inspired by Skyrim for Breath of the Wild back when it was really in its early stages. And I just remember thinking, oh, I hope it's not like a ripoff. And then when it came out, I was just like, this is inspired by Skyrim in the best possible way. It takes all the best aspects of it, but it is 100% a Zelda game doing its own thing with this open world type of survival scenario.
Can we get weirdly emotional about this right now? Explain to me how you felt when you were, explain to me when you realized you, that you were playing the best game of the year.
I love that you asked me that way. The most memorable childhood Zelda memory I have is the first time I ever played Ocarina of Time.
That water temple, huh?
And I had that was literally my first exposure to Zelda. I never played any of the old 2D games, whatever. So Ocarina was my first Zelda game, and I didn't know much about it except that it was like the game to get. And I opened it Christmas morning and played it nonstop for the next 6 months or whatever.
Even after you beat it.
However long it took me to beat it. And I have never felt that way about a game until Breath of the Wild. Or never felt that way about a game again until Breath of the Wild. And
so walk me through that. Like when you started Breath of the Wild. Do you mind if I host this show, guys?
No. I love how much you guys are getting into this, because this is why we wanted you guys on here, just how big of fans you guys are.
So you wake up in the Resurrection Chamber. Tell me when you realized you were playing the best Zelda game.
You sound like a psychiatrist right now.
Well, one of the things I love about it is how it makes it has its own take on the Zelda universe, because there's something very sci-fi about it. The idea of like the towers, and you've got this
Sheikah slate
that has different powers that you can build into it. There's something really,
you literally upgrade it. It's a tablet.
Yeah, totally. It is 100% a tablet. So I love that dynamic of it. I think one of the things that made me fall in love with Zelda when I first started playing Ocarina of Time is the problem-solving aspect of it, and the fact that like you're not sure that maybe rolling this bomb down this hill might blow something up that like causes this door to open that you need to get into, and when you do it, it's the most satisfying thing you've ever done in your life.
So that's like a really good, and I'm not going to cut you off, but well, I am, but only briefly. that's when I realized I was playing the best Zelda game ever. Is when I, in early stages, I needed to go to the top of this mountain, but it was very cold. And I kept going up and dying and going up and dying. And I was like, I know I can do this. So I would run and I would die. And I would get some apples and I would eat a lot of apples as I'm going, and then I would die. And then I realized I could catch a stick on fire. And if I carried that, I wouldn't get cold. And then I carried that up the side of the hill, and I realized I am playing the best Zelda game of all time. Because this game didn't tell me that. I did this as an experiment, and I solved this using, like, and then I found out later through having conversation with people that that's not how they did it.
Yes.
That's really cool.
That's it. It takes the best of the creative problem solving aspect of Zelda games and takes it to another level by making it be something that you have to figure out for yourself. And there are multiple ways to answer all the different problems.
It allows more creativity in the puzzle solving, which
it rewards you for being a smart person.
Right. It also rewards you for being experimental. And like the developers may have never play tested it by catching the stick on fire and carefully walking it up the hill. Like they may never have done it that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I think is so cool.
For anyone that cares, the map is 8.3 square miles. Wow. Slightly smaller than Manhattan.
I was going to say, that makes it sound less impressive.
Yeah, but think of walking 8.7?
3.
Square. 8.3. Square miles.
Think of walking that straight, though.
That's over. Yeah, that's...
Like, that's going to take you hours.
That's a while. That's a good amount.
I mean, it's at least a mile.
Do you remember... Do you remember what you were saying before I cut you off? And was it worth completing?
Well, I remember the first time I realized I was in love with Zelda as a franchise, and it was in Ocarina of Time in the Great Deku Tree, where you're trying to figure out how to get below this like spider web type thing, and you get to the top of the tree and jump down into the web, and it breaks, and then you can break through it. And it's like, just like you said, it's one of those things where you have to just kind of try it and see if it works. And when it does, you're like, it feels like, how did I not think of this the whole time? And it's just such a clever way to solve that problem. And I feel like the Zelda games have consistently made that an exciting element. And Breath of the Wild, again, takes that to another level by having there be multiple really clever ways to solve the same types of problems.
Right. Like they have some of these puzzles where you have to like move these blocks around to complete electrical circuits mm-hmm. to open doors. And the blocks are like made of metal so that when you drag them into the spot where the circuit is broken, you can connect electrifying the block. Right. You're with me, Chin?
Science. Yeah. I get it.
I could not get this third block to the right spot. I couldn't find a way to get it over there. It was like behind a fence or something. So I just dropped my shields and laid all my shields out. And they are metal. So they can complete the circuit.
That's really cool.
That is really smart.
And the developers built this puzzle for me to get that third block. That's how they built it.
Yeah.
But that's not how I solved it. And that's what made that game so incredible, is that I didn't need to solve it the way they wanted me to. As long as I followed the rules.
Preach. That's 100% how I felt. There's the electric, the fact that your metal objects can channel electricity, but also they're weighted. So you could be at a switch that needs to have a weight down on it in order for you to get through a door. And you drop your shield on it and suddenly you can get through that door. And that's not, like he said, it's not necessarily what they intended for you to do. Maybe there was a crate that you were supposed to get and go put it down.
Yeah.
But the fact that there's multiple ways to solve it, and it's never easy. It's never like, so there's never
break every puzzle.
Exactly. There's never too many answers to it that it's just immediately occurs to you what to do to solve it. But there's enough that you can be really creative with it, and different people can solve it in different ways. And I think that's really exciting.
I love that, because I, in my everyday day job, I do a lot of training and kind of puzzle solving. I troubleshoot. But everybody learns differently, and everyone has a different style of learning, and some might be more logical than others, and some might be more visual. So to allow you to solve different puzzles in whichever way is easier for you to think critically and problem solve, I think is really smart, because you have a wide array of people that are playing these games. So to have only one or two ways that you can solve something does kind of get frustrating for some people. So to give you an unlimited amount of options and work in a way that is best for you kind of pulls you even more into the game.
Yeah, it makes it satisfying for you, because you did it your way.
Right.
That's sounding like Frank Sinatra. But I was going to say one more thing about that. Oh, sometimes it uses the Switch's abilities in a really clever way. Like there's these two shrines that are across a mountain from each other. Mm-hmm. And one of them has the other one's answer.
I've seen this part of the gameplay.
So good.
Yeah.
I actually know what you guys are talking about.
They're like
right
side
now.
By side, kind of side by side. And one of you walk into it and you can't solve the puzzle because the answer to the puzzle is in the other shrine. And what you have
and
to
vice
do
versa.
And vice versa. And what you have to do is you have to mimic the way that these items are laid out, and the answer, like I said, is in the other shrine. So what you can do is you can take a screenshot with the switch, press the screenshot button, take a screenshot of that, then go to the other shrine, mimic it.
Can I just say,
that's really smart.
Jared, who has been on this before, I've watched him play this part, and that's exactly what he did.
Right, yeah. But like, that's not the game doing that.
That's the person.
That's the person deciding to utilize the screen capture button to solve the riddle.
You smart know what I mean? People.
Like, so it lets you even solve it outside of the game. And that's what's so cool. To talk about Odyssey for a second, what Odyssey did differently than Mario did is it's a little bit more like, here's Mario. You know how to control him. Let's put him in a weird situation and let you figure it out.
Yeah.
And then they hid things in each level and let you dig them up like a sandbox, right?
That's pretty cool.
And then some of the other cute things that they did to it are all like visually cute, but you know, serve no greater purpose, like the costuming and stuff like that.
He's got some nice duds in that game.
Yeah. For some reason, collecting costumes became an obsession for me.
Yeah, well, because you have to... There are certain doors that are locked if you're not wearing the right costume. Like,
that's
in
like one moon of like 900.
Right. You know what I mean?
And that's the other thing I love about this game. And Kat was saying that she gets really frustrated sometimes by games that require really precise...
skill?
Skill, yeah, yeah. Sure. And Odyssey certainly has some moons where you need to really know how to control Mario perfectly in order to get them. But you don't have to get every single moon in that game in order to beat the game or to progress.
No, you barely need 100 to win.
But it's kind of fun when you stumble on them, though. Like, I got a bunch of moons yesterday that I wasn't even really, like, looking for. I just stumbled across them. Like,
that's that, like, reward system. It, like, rewards you for just looking around.
Right. Like, I forget the name of the sand town, but I bought the, like, poncho and sombrero, and I went in some bar and played a guitar. And they're like, here's a moon. And I was like, cool. Sand. Thanks for that.
It's crazy that you're describing a Mario game right now.
Yeah. And I like what they do in some of the levels where you can go into a pipe, and now you are 8-bit, and you're doing a 2D crawl.
Total fanfare, but wicked fun.
Yeah, it's really fun, and I found like moons that way too. One of the most fun things I've ever done was become a dinosaur and just stomp around.
I saw that in the trailer.
That was wicked fun.
It looked awesome.
And that's what's I love Odyssey so much because, unlike Zelda, where it rewarded you for thinking critically, spending time in that world and walking around basically an empty environment to find the one thing. One of the things we didn't mention about Zelda is that it is the most genuine adventure you can go on in a video game, because you see something in the distance of where you're heading, but you're distracted by something fun on the side. Where Odyssey, it's a very clear... okay. Odyssey, it's very clear where you're going, or what your goal is to do, but the game like kind of like throws you in and says like, hey, here's a small space, like just do what's fun and we'll reward you for having a good time. Where Odyssey wants you to smile, Zelda wants you to think. And
both great things.
Right. And I played Odyssey as a 10-year-old. You know, I'm an adult man. Yeah. I played it as a 10-year-old.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, because it is so imaginative and creative, and it's just like such a fun world, and you have a blast while you're playing it. You're just like, this is so fun. I get to be Bullet Bill and swim around in this lava swamp, and because you get to become parts of the universe that you saw as villains or as an obstacle, and now you get to become those and fully immerse yourself in the game, which...
It's such a cool dynamic. It's almost like they realized, man, so many of the characters and elements of these games are really, really cool, And what if we gave players the opportunity to play as those things?
Which is genius.
And here's a little cherry on top of that. Let's give them a hat and a mustache just to make it even
adorable.
More
adorable.
It's a legitimate cherry. It's a red hat on top.
Yeah, it's so cute.
I like that.
But it's that game is just constantly forcing you to smile.
Yeah.
The fact this is it's kind of a spoiler, I guess, but
who cares?
At one point
we don't
you,
do that on this podcast.
You possess Bowser, and it is crazy to me that throughout an entire game where all your you force
you're very
it
clear
you
that
take
you're not possessing your capture.
Well, it's pretty identical concepts, but
For
a game where the entire time you're capturing things and like taking over their abilities, I was still blown away when they were like, hey, capture Bowser. I was like, what? Hell yeah.
Yeah, I remember that moment so vividly when I was fighting him and whatever. And I love that he throws his hat at you and you knock his hat over. And then you put on his hat. It's so big on you, but it's like such a cute little stupid little moment.
Yeah.
You're just putting on his hat and it's cute. And then when you capture him for the first time, I like stood up and I was like, oh my God, I'm Bowser.
Like, so cool.
And as a reminder, I'm an adult. It's just like, it's so fun and cool and they just nail it. And then like little things happen later. Like after you beat the game, you see all of the, and this is a spoiler, I guess, whatever, but you see all of the characters from all the different worlds. They're all now on vacation in the other world.
That's
just like
so cute.
Hanging out, and they're all obsessed with hats now. So they're like trading each other's hats all the time. And it's just like this cute little touch that literally does not need to exist. There was no reason to do that. They could have kept those worlds the same, but instead they put all the little characters in the different places with hats on. Talk, and then you talk to them about their hat and stuff, and it's just to make you fucking smile. It literally does nothing to serve the game in any meaningful way other than to make you smile
and give you a moon for talking to them.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, thank you for looking at me. Here's a moon. And like, we know this little glimmer is going to make you feel special.
And also just really, they nailed the nostalgia of the Mushroom Kingdom, which is just straight up homage to Mario 64.
What? Yeah, because
you
watched
were
you
so
play
excited
it
about that. You were like, "What? This is Mario 64."
Yeah. I remember Mario 64 when you go into Peach's castle and you do like a camera view and you look up at the stained glass at the top of the ceiling. You go into like a special level where you're like flying with your cap. And if you do the same exact thing in this game, it just gives you a moon for looking up at that stained glass. And I just thought,
I didn't know that.
What a cool homage.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
Is Yoshi on top of the castle?
And Yoshi's on top
he
of the
is
castle.
Is he really? That's
yes.
Awesome. Oh,
which
that's so
he never
cool
was. He never was on top of the castle, right?
Like, no, he was.
You could never ride Yoshi.
No, he was always
he was
on top.
He
just
there
couldn't do anything with
yeah
him.
Yeah, he was just there.
Yeah, but they do that fanfare, that wish fulfillment.
That's awesome.
Of like letting you actually ride Yoshi now on well.
Although doesn't
way
it kind of make you feel a little bit weird that you can't ride him, and in every Mario game Mario can just like ride Yoshi and it's fine, and in this one you have to possess him.
Yeah.
You have to
capture,
take
capture
away
him
his
capture
agency.
Him.
Yeah, you capture him. And also all those captures are so cute. And I've been playing that game so much. I have like 600 moons or something.
Wow.
Yeah. 600 or 700 moons. I can't remember.
Out of 900?
Out of 900, yeah.
Jeez.
Although I will not do to speak to you, Kat, mm-hmm, I will not do the moons that require you to do like perfect precision. Like there's these races where you have to race turtles.
Or
I don't
penguin
even start them.
That's a little 64 throwback for it.
They have that throwback.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, when I was watching Tim play, and I was like, this is Mario 64.
Did you beat the darker side of the moon?
Yeah.
So fucking hard.
Did you
that
do it?
That was giving me so much anxiety just watching you play.
Was
it
that the super long level
yeah
that I watched you play?
Yeah, the gauntlet one.
Yeah, it was like Ninja Warrior meets
yeah
Mario.
Yeah, that is fun to get through, though.
When it's so satisfying when you do, but it's like one of the hardest things I've ever done in a video game.
I know, I was like sweating for like 2 straight hours trying.
Okay.
Jared was like, wow, you're really good at this. And I was like, I've been playing this for 45 hours.
But one thing I was going to say, what was I ramping up to?
So I don't know. I don't know where you're going.
The game exists just to make you smile.
Yeah, yeah. So I have like so many moons at this point, and I'm basically like, in my opinion, I'm long since done. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I found a character I'd never captured before, and I had a new capture. Like,
sound like a collector.
100 hours into the game or something. I'm exaggerating. It's probably not that much. It probably is. But it was this new guy. I captured him, and he's a change purse. Have you guys seen him?
No, not yet.
It's a change purse. You capture him, and then you shoot coins out of, like, you shoot your, but they're your actual coins that you collected. So you lose money to play as this change purse. And I was like, I didn't even expect a new capture 100 hours into this game. It's just like that game is just constantly rewarding you.
So I'm going to give you guys a little Sophie's choice right now. You only get one. You go in Breath of the Wild or you go in Odyssey.
Tim?
I feel like I know which way Tim's going, but
yeah.
I'm like I might have to say Breath of the Wild too, but it like literally pains me to say that Mario is two.
Okay. I know you're going Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. I mean I love both games, but for me it's no question. I'm a Zelda boy.
Kat, what are you going with?
I'm going to go Super Mario Odyssey just because I only watched Breath of the Wild.
That I would do the same just because I always get yelled at for this, but I've never played a Zelda game. Mainly
I only played the very first one.
Hey, when you get your Switch.
Right. I've always been the type of person, if I'm going to get into something, I want to do it from the, I want to know everything about it, get into the beginning.
Zelda doesn't have a recurring storyline.
I know, but I just that kind of person that when I even watch a new show or something like that, I get all the way into it. I immerse myself into it.
Start with Breath of the Wild and then decide to go back.
It looks like a really fun, exciting game, just at the precision of it. I like
of Zelda?
Well, I liked...
Think of fighting those Lynels.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
Guardians.
You don't have to do that, though, I would say.
Like, I know I would have fun with the puzzles, even just helping you with some of the ones while I was watching you.
That does intrigue me. I do like puzzles.
But it looked a little bit more... Yeah. Skilled. I could see myself getting more frustrated with that.
I love that. Frankly, love the skill based stuff. I love fighting Lynels. It's one of my favorite things in that game. And the fighting Guardians is really annoying. It really frustrates me. Did you do the DLC? Tower.
I was so scared of Guardians. For most of the time I played that game, I would, like, you hear the, like, dee, 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 I'm fucking out of here.
Did you do the like, I don't even know what they called it. The first DLC where it was, like...
Hero Trials?
Zelda Naked and Afraid is what I like to call it.
Oh, is that when you got to go? I think I watched you play some of that. You kept going through, killing a couple people, you go to the next level.
Yeah.
Starting with nothing
that
and getting stuff.
That was so fucking hard because you basically start all over again
with
no weapons, no armor, and you have to just kind of progress. And if you die, you start over at the beginning.
That sucks.
And there's a couple of parts where you're fighting Guardians, and it's real intense because you have to it's the timing is so precise. You have to like use your shield at exactly the right moment, and
that's what Kat said she didn't want to do. Precise timing.
And I'm bad at
the parry when you parry with your shield. Yeah, that's tough.
I feel like I'm like decently good at Zelda.
I think I'm an expert at it by now, so I can show you some pointers. I also the first thing I did in that game was got the climbing gear. And the climbing gear and what was the guardian gear. Because I was so scared of guardians that I just was like, I am going
not trying to
gear up on guardian stuff right away. And then the climbing stuff just so I could like climb faster. Because I do love traversing that way.
Okay. All right. So just to move this along, because we've been talking for a while here.
Yeah, you should chop this up.
trivia?
Yeah.
All right. So... I got some trivia questions. Some are a few Zelda, some are basic Nintendo knowledge, some are Mario. I think I got like 8 of them, something like that.
Quiz so we'll, Master Chinmo.
We'll roll right through these.
Let's go.
All right. You.
Let me get the buzzer ready.
Okay, Tim. I'll pull up the questions while you're doing it. I'm so happy we added this visual element for this audio podcast. I think we explained it last episode. We got an iPad to put up, so it's a buzzer, which is actually makes a good noise that most of the mics pick up, which is cool. There it is. Hopefully, it's pick up. Okay. You guys ready for this?
Yep.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to said it before. There's a few softballs here. So first question. What was Mario's original name? Brian?
Jumpman.
Jumpman. As a, I feel like that's
kind of... Hey, in Odyssey, Jumpman, if you talk Jumpman. To nice Paulina... If you talk to Paulina in Odyssey, and Paulina is the princess from Donkey Kong, she calls you Jumpman.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Cute. And also, just to be a little cuter, she also says, hey, there's a festival about to start. Can you help me with something? She moves a sewer cover, and you go down in the basement, and you do actual plumbing.
Okay.
Maybe the first time he's ever done it. That's pretty cool. So that,
and she's also like, please help me get musicians for this event for free. Yeah. Okay, deadbeat.
Okay, your dress is very tight.
You got so excited. You're so, like, it's the festival. We have so to pay attention.
Yeah, it's so tight, dude. What's next?
All right, kind of another softball here. But what was the first game that Mario appeared in?
Well, my guess would be Donkey Kong.
Yeah, it's Donkey, yeah. Okay. You said it before, so yeah.
Two Donkey Kong questions
from 81.
In a row.
Danky Kang.
I gave a second for you guys to buzz in.
Danky okay. Kang country.
Let's, we're going to go with another thing here, with another year. When was Nintendo, when did it become a company? Do you really know this?
I don't think I know the date, but I do know it's over 100 years ago.
It is over 100 years
what?
Ago.
What? It's that old?
You want to take a guess?
No.
It's not, it's not super far over 100 years, but it's... It's a good amount.
1915.
Go to 18s. It is 1889.
Wow. Follow up. What were question. They originally?
That's. Does anybody know what they originally sold? You know this, Brian?
Yeah, they initially they made playing cards.
Playing cards, yeah. Hanafuda. Yeah. If I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correct, but that's how it's.
They originally made those.
Looks.
Then they also went into hotels. They made some hotels.
Love hotels.
Love hotels.
Yep.
The word Nintendo actually, I don't know if this is one of your questions, but
it
the word
not.
Nintendo actually means heaven on earth.
Oh,
so these love fact. Hotels were like by the hour.
Yeah, it was. It was for the
dope. Tight dude.
The frisky type. All right.
Speaking of capturing people.
I got a... Ooh. All right, we got a Zelda dark. Question. So the fairy Navi...
Y'all heard about this, Matt Lauer? Right?
Oh, my God.
Got it,
two players. All right. From the fairy Navi in Legend of Zelda, where did the name come from? Damn, Brian.
Navigation.
Yeah.
She shows you how to get
how
around.
To navigate or navigation. He
it's
is...
It's not from James Cameron.
Nice.
Unobtainium.
BWK is just killing it right now. Okay.
I had a feeling he was going to run away with this.
This one is kind of like a weird one, but I have a little personal touch with it, so I'm going to go with what Nintendo game caused enough injuries to result in an $80 million settlement? Tim? Ooh, new buzzer
what
sound.
Was that?
Hello.
I don't know what I just did.
What
Wii
did
Sports?
Not Wii Sports. Good guess, though. Not Wii Sports.
Was it the Olympic? I can't remember the name of it. It's one that used the power mat.
It is not the Olympic game that you're thinking
okay.
of.
Okay, you know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay. Kat, you got a guess? They're out. So
I just thought to go to the first time they did a peripheral.
I don't know.
I can attest to this because I was personally injured. Mario Party.
Really?
Oh, for the joysticks.
Those joysticks. Joystick. I've taken many a skin off the palm of my hand
Ooh.
Playing that game.
Sued for that. What a jerk.
Yeah, I guess Stupid. Enough kids got hurt. $80 million.
You knew what you were getting into.
All right. I got two left. What is the best selling handheld system from Nintendo?
Would it be the DS Lite?
Any other guesses?
3DS?
No, Tim.
I would guess the original Game Boy.
That's what I thought it would be.
Or Pocket? Game Boy Pocket?
It's just the first DS.
Oh, the original DS.
The original DS. Oh, okay. Yep.
I shouldn't have said light.
All right, last one. What is the best-selling exclusive game to Nintendo? Like, not ones that's gone cross-platforms. The exclusive game.
Is it Mario 3?
Nope.
I think that's the best-selling game of all time, so how is that not true?
I don't know. This is from this was the top. I got some of the This one was from a top 15 hardest Nintendo
Could
question.
It be Wii Sports?
It is Wii Sports.
Okay, that's a pack-in. You can't buy it.
I'm just saying, exclusive game. That's what it went for.
Okay, all
that's
right.
How I wrapped up with it. That was, I thought it was interesting.
Because the Wii, and I'm sorry I robbed you guys of that second question, but the Wii is the best-selling video game system of all time, and that Wii Sports is packed into every
It came
system,
with it, yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it kind of wins by default.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got really good at that bowling. I'll say my college roommate had a Wii, and I got super good at Wii bowling.
I love
good
that job, the Chin. Wii Thank yoga I was quite the girl sportsman. Is an option in...
Super Smash, Super right? Smash.
Which
is
yeah, the Wii Fit trainer.
Mind-boggling yeah. to me.
That's from Wii Fit, though.
Right.
I wish they would do Switch Super Smash Brothers title. I'm sure,
give it time.
It yeah. would be fun Next with year. That, because I now that you Smash. Have the like punching action with Arms, where that's kind of more fine-tuned.
Oh, I'd love to see Arms characters. Jinx. Jinx is one of the Arms characters.
You got another trivia question? This is fun.
That was, and you said you would be horrible. You nailed
you crushed
that.
It.
No, I got two wrong.
Out of what, 8, 9?
Yeah.
That's a passing grade.
You got two wrong, but you were the only person to guess any of them.
I'm sorry. That's a jerk move.
No, I got, no, I guess one no, of them. No, that was it good. It was just wrong.
So we usually wrap this up, Brian. We gave you a heads up on this here. We always do with who would you like to be and who do you think you would actually be? And we're going to open this up to basically all Nintendo characters, which I really like. I've always enjoyed how they kind of have like their shared world. You know, Donkey Kong, Mario, Peach, they all kind of coexist together, which I really liked about Nintendo.
Yeah. Just
What's your answer, thing. Chin?
So who would I like to be would be Yoshi. I think it'd be Aww. Pretty cool to be a dinosaur, and I always liked the noise he made and be
Try
cool.
It.
I know. I
try it.
It's gonna be. That was pretty good. But it was always cool. The way he stuck his tongue out.
Pretty good.
That was really good. Yeah.
Oh, that was kind of more Mario though.
Yeah.
What? No, that's what Yoshi does when he crashes.
So yeah, I would like to be Yoshi. I always thought that'd be cool. Who I would actually be? If I'm thinking about it, just because I used to have the haircut. I'm going to go with Toad. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, you're a good contender for Toad.
Yeah.
thank you.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's definitely... Toads okay. are my favorite. Okay. They're so fucking cute. I can't believe it.
I saw a picture of Toad without... I always knew the mushroom topping was a hat. I just never thought about it. And then I saw a picture of Toad
that
without the mushroom top.
And
I was like, what?
That
no, that's not real. It doesn't take it off.
Yeah. But
it never comes off. It's not a hat because it gets knocked over quite a bit. It never pops off.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with just because I don't know a whole lot of the newer Nintendo characters. So that's what I'm sticking with.
Those are still some of the gold standards.
Yeah.
All right. Kat, what do you got?
I don't know who I would want to be.
Tell me you wouldn't want to be a dinosaur with a long tongue?
Yeah. Maybe one of the classics like... Mario or Link, just because you get to go on so many cool adventures. I think I also would be Toad. Like, okay. Just someone...
Subservient?
Yeah, just like, I'm existing and I'm peripheral to these adventures, but I'm along for the ride.
Hey, it's some of the Mario...
Always a Daisy, never a Peach.
That's a good t-shirt. Yeah. In some of the Paper Mario games, Toad plays... He's a party member.
Huh? I played him, Yoshi, and Luigi. Luigi's always my go-to when I play
Mario.
Can
we talk about Mario Run for a
Mario
second?
Mario Kart, though.
That game's great.
You're obsessed with Mario
Every
Run.
Time I see Mario you, Run. Tim, you are on your phone playing that game.
Yeah. 2017 release. What a hell of a year we're having.
Hell of a year. Hell of a season.
Mario, Toad is one of my favorites. He's so cute. And then...
Baby Toad on Mario Run? The cutest ever when he like finishes a level and he's like...
Oh my God, I want to punch him. He's so cute.
But what was I going to say? What did you say? You're...
Would like to go for like a Mario, like a
I
classic.
Would
right?
I would like to be Mario or Link just because of all the cool adventures, but I would be Toad.
Mm, okay.
We're going to save you for last, BWK.
Okay.
Tim, what do you got?
I think hands down, I'm a huge, obviously huge Zelda fanboy. I would love to be Link.
Not Zelda.
Although I do name my Link Zelda always.
Do you really?
No. But I think that's a really funny, infuriating thing
Zelda
for somebody
was
to
a
do.
Girl.
Yeah.
In the original Zelda, if... Oh, no, sorry. You know, I think I'm thinking of this right. I'll have to fact check this. But if the in the original Zelda game, if you named your character Zelda, you started with an extra heart.
Oh.
Really?
That's
fun little Easter egg.
Sure.
I guess if I had... So I would like to be Max Brass, but I'd probably be Helix.
That's funny to go with ARMS characters.
Pretty deep cut ARMS characters.
I'd like to be Twin Tail, but I think...
I'd probably be like...
Fuck. Machina? Is that the...
Ninjaro?
No, Ninjaro is the one that immediately came to mind.
What's
I am so
the
lost
girl
right now.
In the
oh, yeah.
big neck suit?
What is her name? Mac...
Isn't it?
Yeah, I think like...
What is her name?
Machinara
or something like that.
You're closer, Kat.
Something like that.
Thanks.
I would like to be Mario, but I am definitely Peach. Like, there's no way I would be able to do the things Mario can do. And I would...
He does not get enough credit for being as acrobatic as he is.
No.
And if it came to it, like, I would just be kidnapped, like, very, very easily.
So many of his moves are named after Olympic events.
Double jump.
Long jump.
Yeah.
But I would love to... I love Mario as a character, like, just... Aesthetically, everything is just like he brings it all back for me. But there's no way I could hold an adventure like he can. You know what? I would love to be Mario, but I am Luigi. That's better.
Hey, man, I love Luigi. He's actually my favorite Nintendo character.
One of my favorite running gags in all of like Nintendo history is that Luigi is like nobody cares about him.
Yeah.
Like in all of the Paper Mario games, he's on his own adventure and he'll like bump into Mario. And he'll start to tell Mario about his adventure, and Mario will like literally fall asleep. or there's in Smash Brothers, for example.
His fire punch I dominated with in Super Smash 64.
When you pick people from the roster, they're like Mario, Peach, Bowser, Luigi. He literally says it as a question.
It's like, are you sure?
Yeah, like there's still time. Change
was I
it.
Really invited?
I saw a great screen capture the other day, and it was like when you bring an uninvited friend to a party, and it's Toad talking to Mario and Luigi sitting next to him. He's like, "Oh, Luigi came. Super."
Yeah, there's a Paper Mario game where you play as Luigi. And everybody is so bored by you. Like, literally, everyone's like, where's your brother?
That's so sad.
It really is. That's so sad.
The Luigi Nintendo... Death Stare thing when Mario 8 came out was
so
great.
Good.
Nintendo has a store in New York called the Nintendo World Store.
Which I've been to, and it's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
World Store.
Oh, actually, they just changed the name. Now it's Nintendo Co. or something like that. Nintendo New York is what it's called now.
They had a lot of cool statues.
But they had these shirts that they were selling, and one of them was Mario, and he was, like, jumping in his, like, classic pose. Threw like a bunch of coins. There were like so many coins on the shirt face, and then there was a Luigi one right next to him, and it was Luigi standing, and he had a dream bubble coming out of his head, and in the dream bubble was one coin.
That's so bad.
Mario was like literally surrounded by coins, and Luigi on his shirt is inactive and just dreaming about having a coin. Not even doesn't even have one.
I want siblings to own those shirts so bad.
Oh, me too. Man.
That was good. Those good answers.
When we were at was it last year at Comic-Con?
Yeah.
Went to some panel that was like comedians and comics, and it was basically just like comedians with nerdy routines, and one guy had a whole thing about Mario that fucking killed me, and it was like, I don't understand what the board meeting developing Mario would have been. It would have been like, you know what kids like? A guy with a mustache. That's what they trust. They're like, what's an occupation children are familiar with? Plumber. Great. We'll call him Super Mario because he's a super.
Because he owns an apartment complex.
Yeah.
Cool.
That was good. All good answers. This will, I'm going to say, most likely our longest episode yet, by far, I think.
Fun.
Just packed full of gems, though.
And we get to choose openings when I edit this, which is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. This has been a four-and-a-half-hour episode.
Excursion.
Yeah. It's been great, though.
Like Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
You guys have anything you guys want to
don't
plug
do that.
In here
don't open it up for us to talk more.
Just quick. I'm going to give you guys 1 minute each. Quick little plug. What do you guys got?
I'm on a podcast called Top 5 of Death. Look us up, Top 5 of Death. That's my plug.
Always like the number five.
Always the number five. Yeah.
I'll briefly plug the Nintendo Switch.
We haven't done that enough.
Like, for real, you should get it if you have any... if you get any enjoyment out of just, like, really super fun games. If you like problem solving, I can't recommend Breath of the Wild enough. And if you just want that, like, childlike wonder that you have nostalgia for from games you played growing up, Mario Odyssey is incredible. So plug those. I'll also plug the Wasted Minds Network. Check out our website, wasted-minds.com. Check out, we've got another podcast on the network, Rhythm and Brews, that I host with some of my good friends. So check that out as well. And I think that's it.
All right.
And to plug our own stuff.
Yeah, where can they find us, Kat?
You can find us on Conquest Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you want to shoot us any ideas for any conventions that are popping up around that you want to hear us cover.
It's going to be a new year. We're going to hear some new stuff.
Yeah, anything that you're excited about, any new releases. If you want to share your stories about getting the Switch this year or your favorite video games in general, feel free to shoot us an email at conquestpod@gmail.com.
Please do. Please. Yeah. So that's going to wrap it up for us because, once again, your plugs are my plugs. thank you again, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming back.
I wish
you dude.
Nice. I wish people could have just seen you guys' faces while you're talking about it and how genuinely passionate
you guys
are.
So much.
Your joy.
Yeah.
I could see my reflection in the window and I was like, you're moving too much.
And the newest podcast on the Wasted Minds Network, Tim and BWK talk about Nintendo.
Oh, dude, let's do it.
I would listen to that.
But no, thank you very much. And that's gonna do it for us. So adios, mi amigos.
And remember to be excellent to each other.
Everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Conquest. I'm your host, Chinmo, and I will be...
And I'm Kat.
Thank you so much for joining us this week, as I, myself, with my co-host...
Kat.